It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Well, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day until tomorrow here on RBN Network from Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's been great spending time with you guys, and I'm glad that we were able to share and you got the perspective. I mean, you know, there's no sense in beating the horse after he's dead, because this is what we always say, you know, this show is about the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics for which there is no cure. How do you unlearn the truth? And when you listen to this show and some of the perspectives that we had, you know, simple things, those just won't be left alone, those that just won't leave them alone. You know, freedom good, government bad. You know, these in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. I mean, and we're looking at some kind of standard that we're using to determine who the good and bad guys are. Who or what is aggressing against whom? You think it's more complicated than that, and it's not. You know, are you using force? Usually collective force, coercing people into whatever you want them to do, regardless of how great and wonderful you think the idea. If you're using force, you're already the bad guy. I don't give a crap what your noble cause is or how much better you think it's going to be. You know, plus, even if it's this great, noble idea, people eventually would do it anyway. You know, the thing is that, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to have a good society, a well-informed society, a self-sustaining society, a culture, they have to make mistakes. They need to make mistakes. They need to learn from their mistakes. They need to take things into consideration like providing for their security, which is, you know, saving instead of spending. You know, learning how to make something rather than just having somebody supply it for them all the time. You know, learning how to create food and lay brick. You know, drive a nail. You know, it's amazing to me that people that, you know, have friends, high-tech guys and so on, they lose their job or they make less or they can't just drop their automobile off at the mechanic and say, yeah, tell me, $450, yeah, whatever, you know, here, one less thing I had to do. It wasn't worth my time to do it and don't know anything. And all they had to do was pay $25 for front brake shoes and do it themselves. I've done this before. I go, look, you know, this, you're killing me. You know, it's a nice day out. Come on over. You know, bring a beer. Have, you know, we'll go swimming in the pool, whatever, and it'll take a half hour and we'll change the front disc on the front. Because they were, he's, you know, I don't know what to do, man. He had a Honda and they said, oh, well, your brakes are, see, it's a little bit more wore on this brake pad on the right than it is the left. That means your calipers aren't doing, that's $300-something for the caliper and so much change to yours. It's like $500-$600 repair. I'm like, yeah, that's very interesting. You know, it wears a little bit more on this one. I change them both at the same time anyway. You know, whatever, I give me $25 and we'll just change the brake pads. Are you able to do that? Were you nice enough to your kids and your grandkids that they might want to help you when you get older? These are direct results of a culture that was allowed to make mistakes and learn from them. That's not what's happening. We'll be right back, and we'll go ahead and get right into this article and try and learn what they're going to purposely do to the economy.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And I hope you guys are still declaring your independence after I'm gone. You know, there's all you got to do is just keep checking back on freedomsphoenix.com. You can sign up and get the daily dispatch that comes out at least once or twice a day. It's just the headlines and so on. Or you can go into the archives of the dispatch that's sent out. There's so many things that we do here at that time. I'm really sorry you're going to miss, you know, our progression. But you can keep up with it, you know, with the on Freedom's Phoenix. And we have an afternoon show. I mean, I don't know, John, mind me saying that here in the last couple of days, but we've been doing both for long. I've been doing, like today I do 6 hours of radio. I mean, can you talk for 6 hours? Blah, 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 blah. You know, I got skills. But, you know, we'll be doing Dave Champion's show this afternoon. And, yeah, and Dave wanted me to make sure you knew that he's coming back Friday. So he'll be back Friday, and I'll make sure to announce that on his show also. But this is I'm hoping that I can leave you with just some information that I think you should know. You're just a part in a much larger game. You just represent as, I don't know, your number or your Social Security number or, you know, whatever they, you know, a lot of things. I give you some of the, you know, the Patriot conspiracy kind of stuff that you may remember. They'll say, you are just a Social Security number that is representative of collateral that they use on the Treasury bills to lend out money based on the faith that the United States freaking I got a gun government can extract tax money from you to service the interest on the debt. Sound familiar? True. It's been, you know, this is not a secret. You know, it's just that's why they needed more and more Social Security numbers. When it used to be when I was born, you didn't get your Social Security number until you started work at 16. Then my children, you know, they were like, you know, by the time it's in the late 80s, early 90s, they started, if you want to claim from now on, you want to claim children as dependents, you know, exemptions on your taxes, you want to save some money to the government, you got to give them a Social Security number. Now they try and get you a Social Security number on your kid when you're born. So this is, you know, why? It's, you know, because you're collateral. Then you have, now this was from, when was this? This was March. March of this year, whistleblower exposes J.P. Morgan's silver manipulation scheme. And we can go into details on that, but the bottom line is that, yeah, we know that they're manipulating gold and silver. Big time. So we go, all right, so what are we going to do? Who's doing it? Well, you know, of course, you got all these Goldman Sachs guys in there. So I'm like, wow. The economy is you're trying to give the impression, they want to give it to you, that the economy is too complex to be controlled by just a handful of people. And that's going to go in an article. This response often comes from people who make presumptions on economics rather than actually educating themselves on how the system really works. From the outside looking in, the world of finance appears chaotic, a mixture of mathematical and legal standards swirling in a void of mass psychology. Many Americans are either frightened off by the seemingly complex field of study, or they find it rather boring and not worth their time. This, however, does not stop them from assuming that they know how money works. The problem is that just because a person participates in his economy daily, it does not mean he has any understanding of how it operates. Many watch television on a daily basis, but few have any idea how the picture actually gets onto the screen or how to fix a television once it's broken. Sadly, our egocentric culture has led a substantial portion of the public to imagine that they are experts on everything, and thus true researchers in the field of economics and globalism get reactions like the one above constantly. You can't. A few people can't do this. Yeah? How the heck do you know? I mean, do you know? Do you understand? Do you get it? Is this something that you've studied, have you? I understand enough to know that I am not in charge of it unless I have things of value in my pocket. I'll give you an example. The Pharisees, they go to try and trick Christ, saying that, we need to get this guy arrested. You know, he's advocating for this otherworldly king thing. You know, my kingdom's not of this world. Oh, yeah? What world are we talking about? You, Caesar's not your king? You know, he's saying that Caesar's not his king. Arrest him. So they try and trick him. They go up and they say, they're talking about taxes. You know, paying taxes. And he goes, well, let me see, you know, the coin. What's that you got there? Let me see that. Take a look at it. I don't know. It looks like Caesar's picture on it to me. He goes, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And God's God's. And then that's all you ever hear. You know, they'll use that, I mean, since the canonization of the Bible being put together and, you know, what was it? Whatever it was. The Eastern Roman Empire, the capital of, they made it. Anyway, the Christian church, the Christianity became the state religion. So I'm going, okay. You know, so, you know, the Council of Nicaea, and they started bringing the Bible, and they're discussing what's going to go in, you know, and how we're going to do it, and how we're going to argue for it. You know, we got, if it's going to be the state religion, guess what? It's not going to be challenging the state, you know, so they got all kinds of stuff that was this added or not, and so on, and that's a whole other argument. But the point was, is Christ sits there and he goes, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Constantinople, that's what I was trying to think of, Constantinople. So, what is Caesar's? Well, he's got his picture, his money on, you know, on the money, on the coins. He's got his picture on it. I don't know. Looks like it's his. But leave the God, God's. And I'm going, okay, what is not Caesar's? Who determines what is Caesar's? Is my labor Caesar's? Then I'm a slave. Is my time Caesar's? Slave. My stuff, Caesar's, slave. So I'm just going, okay, so this is, what am I supposed to take from this? I'm supposed to take out of this anything that is not, you know, God's Caesar. How do I know which is which? So I'm going, okay, all right. But that's not what you hear. They always go, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Okay, I just got a question. I'm in politics all the time. I raise this up, and it'll be at some thing, and there'll be some guy in the crowd going, oh, well, you got to have government, you know, and Caesar and under Caesar. And now I'm going, I got a question. Hello, hand raised right here. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything that's not Caesar's? Who determines that? Is it a vote? You know, God went, oh, okay, well, they voted this from me. I guess that's y'all's now. You know, nobody ever asks these questions. And I'm going, wow, and how do you determine what is? If you get out of the system, if you take and you start to barter your own stuff, your own eggs, you know, your own labor, your own silver, your own, whatever you produce, your skills, whatever you've accumulated of value, you know, are you allowed? Well, you know, they're getting to the point to where, no, you're not. You know, just to go in and trade silver now, beginning January 12, what is it? $10.99. Okay. So is this really that complicated? No. At bottom, once all the quasi-technical biz babble used by mainstream talking heads is removed from the equation, economics is rather simple. Supply and demand will always be at the center of any and every economy, regardless of the political atmosphere it exists in. These two fundamental factors can be manipulated to a point by the creation of artificial supply or the conjuring of false demand. This is achieved in many ways by global bankers, but primarily through domination of the issuance of currency, the ability to change interest rates at will, as well as the ability to inject or remove incredible sums of money from any market. A perfect example is the suppression of silver prices by J.P. Morgan. Gold and silver represent competing currencies to the fiat dollars created by the Federal Reserve, and suppressing the value of these commodities helps to ensure that the public will never see them as a viable alternative to paper assets. J.P. Morgan, who along with other international banks has the ability to throw around massive quantities of capital wherever they please, suppresses the value of physical silver by issuing paper securities for silver that doesn't actually exist, creating an artificially high supply, and naked short selling silver markets to drive them lower, creating the false impression of low demand. Another good example of economic manipulation is the private Federal Reserve strategy during the 90s under Alan Greenspan to artificially lower interest rates, allowing banks to issue credit at historical levels for over a decade. Link below is an article from Ron Paul's Texas Straight Talk dated March 2007, before the housing market even began its full swan dive. In it, he discusses the Federal Reserve's direct role in the creation of the housing bubble. Those of us that were paying attention, we understood this. You know, Peter Schiff and Ron Paul and Salante and Jim Rogers, you know, we've been talking about this. We knew it was coming. Based on what? What was your resource?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You don't know how lucky you are. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S.S.R.
Yeah, we got to go to the Russia for freedom. You know, a lot of people going to China, communist China, you know, so that we can be left alone. And I mean, I say China got snookered, man. You bought all this U.S. debt. Suckers! I mean, so, but what's happening worldwide? You know, twice this happened in just the last month. We had Al Jazeera was here covering an immigration thing or whatever, met some of the activists down there, came down here to the Freedom's Phoenix workshop. They were entranced by, they call it Christian Zionism. It was a 33-minute movie that 4409 helped edit for Pastor Chuck Carlson. And it's, I mean, you know, in a half hour, boom, you get it. You know, I'm going, wow, this is, you know, the long-term effort of how they got the Christian churches to go Israel. You know, I'm, you know, it's interesting at the very least. So they were, this was the comment from them. They're here interviewing them for, I don't know what the heck it was they were doing. And he's like, you know, I just want you guys to know, the rest of the world already knows this. It's only you guys that don't know this stuff. Then I was on the airplane coming back from Pennsylvania this last Saturday, and I had a shirt on that we make here, and on the back it has, you know, the revolutionary guy throwing the bouquet of flowers, and it says, you know, we know the truth, you know, freedomsphoenix.com, revolution logo, the love logo, and so on. And one of the guys stopped me and was sitting behind me and wanted to talk to me and came up and sat by me. And it was empty seat, and he's just going on about, man, all his realization. Now, he was, you know, I couldn't really tell. He could have easily been Hispanic or Arabic. I couldn't really, maybe from India. He was dark-skinned, but I couldn't make out his accent. But he wanted to make sure that I knew, you know, all the stuff that we would tell people. Want to make sure I knew. I go, hey, man, I get it, man. You know? So we're talking about stuff. And the one thing that he wanted to share is that from around the world, they know. And I didn't even think to ask where he was from. You know, I thought I'd insult him. I couldn't figure it out. So I'm going, now we have on the top of Freedom's Phoenix today, Castro. Fidel Castro invites Secrets of the Bilderberg Club author Daniel Estulin to Cuba. He's going to Cuba. And you're going to have the third world is going to, you know, if they don't already, you know, certainly Hispanic-speaking people, you think this isn't going to be published in, you know, like, oh my goodness, in Spanish, this hemisphere? The dominant language in this in the Western Hemisphere is Spanish. Brazil's Portuguese, you know, and English and the rest, maybe a little bit of French up in Eastern Canada. But you're going to have a lot of people, and we talked about this on the show before, you know, the Treaty of Guadalhidalgo and whatever, you know. There was a time at which the United States actually invaded Mexico in the 1800s, went to Mexico City and said, guess what? You know, and then all of this land that you had in the Southwest, you know, just kind of got, you know, semi-took, and you're going, then you have these guys screaming Aslan coming up and saying this is that. When part of the treaty was, is that the Hispanic families that lived here that are indigenous from here before it became U.S. territory, that their culture would not be affected. that you wouldn't, like, you know, outlaw Catholicism or something. I mean, you know, so this whole thing is what their history is, how they see it. And we just don't even want to understand it or see, and we don't have the moral high ground to say you're better off under U.S. control because we protect individual rights and won't take your property away like they do in Mexico. Well, okay, that was last decade. You know, so this, and we'll protect individual rights, and we'll make sure your property's not taken. We'll make sure you can voluntary contract with people. You can, you know, all this stuff just goes out the window, and we're supposed to be sitting on some all high and mighty throne when the economy's taking the entire planet down, and Bilderberg's going and talking to Fidel Castro. I mean, you know, it's called consensus reality, my friend Peter says. He goes, yep, consensus reality. It's real because everybody believes it. You know, I'm calling prevailing opinion is how I used to refer to it. You know, the prevailing opinion is, you know, why did it prevail? I don't know, because they got more talking heads on Fox or something. This is coming down. And in the last couple of days, tomorrow, you know, Jed will come in with me and we'll maybe some of the guys and we'll just, reminisce. Some of the things we've done over the last year, some of the things we have planned, some of the things you might want to keep track of us doing. Because I guarantee you this, Arizona's going to be in the news around the country, around the planet. Always is. Didn't it? Isn't it? I mean, you know, I tell you guys this. There's a reason. One is because there's a old conduit of drugs and illegal immigration in Arizona that goes back into, at least I know personally, in the 70s. And it was part of, a lot of the Republican, conservative, national kind of, the very people against all this stuff. They're the ones that do it. I tell you, who benefits from the drug war more than anybody else? Drug dealers and law enforcement. Got me get all kinds of good. Who benefits from terrorism and war more than anybody else? Warlords and governments. Who benefits from, you know, economic collapse more than anybody else? Banks and those that, you know, in Congress to get their goodies from the banks. Who benefits from illegal immigration more than anyone else? Smugglers and the government. Terrorism, Homeland Security, more goodies. Whenever you make anything illegal, you create a black market. Do you think they're going to allow this stuff to be legalized when they're making hand over fist? It has to collapse. And they're going to take advantage of that, too. There's nothing you can do about it. You just need to survive it. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
I want to break free. I want to break free.
Yeah, but that ain't gonna happen. No, and not unless you get off the grid, out of the system, out of the way. You know, we're talking about, you know, the manipulations of so many different aspects of government, and they protect each other. You know, a lot of these are about making sure that, you know, okay, man, you don't come after me here. I won't go after you there, and we'll protect this and that and so on. And Sheriff Joe Arpaio, DEA. You know, when he first became sheriff, he and I went at it. I mean, you know, we've been doing live. We kind of, you know, had this detente thing going on, you sure you want to play? And what happened was there was an effort by him to put a bubble over Maricopa County. Every single vehicle was to be checked going in and out of Maricopa County. Can you imagine that? Well, you could do it, too, because there was, you know, you go to the edges of Maricopa County, it's only about maybe three or four freeways that, you know, can. It's probably the similar in whatever metropolis you happen to live in. You get a little bit outside of the city, man, you got a couple of main arteries, and that's it. Well, they got checkpoints now, don't they? Well, he wanted to check, but we're going to stop drug trade. No. He was going to eliminate competition. You know, we got certain ones that we can do here. Whenever you have law enforcement out there controlling what you think there's not, what do you think happens on the border? You know, certain ones allowed, some are not. They get arrested all the time. Well, what we have come out, you know, just a couple of days ago. On August 17th, the Corpus Christi Caller Times, a newspaper, reported the former district attorney of Jim Wells and Brooks counties in Texas has been charged with going on a $4.2 million drug search and seizure forfeiture spending spree in 7 years. Former District Attorney Joe Frank Garza, 68, was indicted by a special grand jury facing one charge of misapplication of fiduciary property in excess of $200,000. Part of the evidence, Garza paid three of his secretaries over $1 million in bonuses of search and seizure cash salaries in a five-year period. Secretaries whose salaries were typically $29,000 a year, including in the search and seizure forfeiture spree, trips to casinos. This is what's going on. I remember this was in the 90s when this really started getting going. We had an issue in, I think it was Utah, and in southern Utah or Idaho. I think it was Utah. There's a highway that goes across Utah, and they have small town officers that just pull people over on the freeway, search their cars. Oh, looky what I found here. Seize their automobiles, seize their cash, seize whatever they could, and they got 25% of the value that they seized. Talk about all the king's men. I mean, this is a highwaymen of the king with a badge. Oh, and the gun. Well, it made, you know, Good Morning America and got a big deal and so on. They highlighted and whatever, and it just keeps going on. This is going on all over. This is how they fund. This is how they're going to fund the little special immigration SWAT team that SB 1070 had. You know, that's another little part of 1070 you guys didn't know about. They have, if you have an illegal in your automobile, they seize everything, sell it, fund them going out and doing more seizures. This is ugly. You think immigration is going to get fixed? Do you think the drug war is going to get fixed? They need it. That's how they make all this money. And before, where it's, you know, it's always the U.S. versus $20,000 in cash. You know, and this happens all the time. I mean, you know, as a guy's going, he's a gardener, he's going to buy a bunch of trees at a landscaper thing or doing a deal on whatever, or you take money out to go get a car for your kid, or you have, oh, Ron Paul's head of Campaign for Liberty. When or one of the young guys, when they did the Restore the Republic at the Washington, I mean, at the Minneapolis-St. Paul event, Restore the Republic, when they had the RNC convention there, Republican National convention, we had a lot of shirts out there and so on, and they had $3,000-$4,000 in cash that they had done from t-shirt sales and so on. Well, he just put it in his pocket and he's taking it, you know, back to the office in Washington, and he pulled him over and stopped him. What'd he do? He turned on his phone and he put it in his pocket and he let it record the conversation. Man, they were all over him and he wouldn't answer any of your questions. Yep, it's my money. Kiss it. You know, we got a good story here. It wasn't until the FBI started walking him down, or the law enforcement started taking him, the FBI caught up when they said, let him go. Because he did some search on him, they found out who he was. They knew he was part of Ron Paul's thing, and what was going there, going, oh, heck no. Heck no. But what was the conversation? Well, they had him. Oh, we're going to do whatever we want to do. We're going to do. Man, it went on. Daily Paul went on the internet. Freedom's Phoenix, man. Boom! This is what they do all the time, the U.S. versus so many thousand dollars. Your money doesn't have the same rights that you do. It's preponderance of the evidence instead of a beyond a reasonable doubt. That's how this, because they can. Currency and property are seized using the following standard of proof, preponderance of evidence. And you know what the preponderance was? The cop took it. You know what the preponderance of evidence that you're guilty in a traffic ticket? The cop wrote it. Because it used to be criminal. And he said, oh, we're doing you a favor. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, if you got a traffic ticket, you got to, you go to trial, you go to, you know, whatever. Now it's like, no, it's a civil violation. Like they're going to do you a solid. Oh, man, we're going to do you a favor. We're going to make it a civil violation. Well, what did that mean? What they did is they made it to where they only had to have preponderance of the evidence that you're kind of sort of part guilty or probably guilty or have something to do with it. And what's the preponderance? That the cop gave you the ticket. You have to have proof that you didn't violate it. So what do? It's a money thing. All right, I know how this is played. So what do? Oh, I go after them, man. I make sure they spend way more money than they're ever going to get out of me. not guilty. Go through, bring the cop in. Dude, you know, just it's a principled thing. You know, it's just little stuff. You know, all of a sudden, you know, they if they're being a butthead and it was stupid, I can just see it's a revenue stop. You know what? I can't find my insurance card. Oh, they like that one. That's a $600 deal. At least it used to be. It's probably more now. So they go, oh, we're going to get us some good on that one. And then not going to write it all up. And I'll go in and drag it out and get in the day of. And I go, oh, you know, I found it. Here it is, Judge. Okay, dismissed, done. And then they can sit here and we can argue and drag them in so they can get their $68 whatever. You know, you know, what else are you going to do? So drugs, illegal immigration, banking system, all this stuff is out of your hands. The voting, advocacy, Al Gore getting everybody going up, you know, we need the environment. You know, global warming. You really think it's about global warming? He's flying around in his jet, you know, living in his big house, soaking up the electricity. No, it's about carbon tax. It's about a global tax to fund these guys. They get their ultimate dream is that they get a piece of everything going around this globe from everybody. But it's going to have to get really ugly because people are just going to start bowing out of this. It's going to be illegal not to be in their system, not to give them their cut. And who do you go after? How do you fix it? This is a cultural war. This is an infection, an inception of an idea, of a concept that has to go at the base of the individual Americans' minds, that they understand what is and is not bad behavior. If you're using force, and a lot of the audience, I want to caution you against this. Over the past year, those of you who've been listening to this show, I want to caution you. If you're out pounding your chest advocating for government force on somebody to do something, you will be opposed by the generations coming up because every bit of the force that you're advocating is going to affect them disproportionately. They're going to have to fund it. They're going to have to slave for it. They're going to have to advocate for it. They're going to have to allow it. And they're not anymore because they can't. And they're learning that they just plain have the desire, they just won't. So where are you at? Were you nice to your kids, grandkids, neighbors? Do you have friends that you can associate with, that you can ride this thing out? You need to get on meetups, go on the internet, try to consolidate around people that, you know, want to just survive. But I know some people, I know a lot of people that are in the politics. They want to advocate for whatever it is that they want and willing to use force and, you know, put on their red, white, and blue flag sweatshirt and go around in their cowboy hat and their sign and pound their chest and get rid of, you know, whatever. We're going to force somebody to something. Got to go kick somebody's butt. You know, and people are going to, come to your aid and help you because why? They agree with you up until they don't. You know, is there some fundamental friendship there? Is there some reason why they want to have you keep breathing in and out and being part of this society as they want to just go about being unmolested and left alone? Are you a advocate for leaving people alone? Yeah, say you're in a small town, a lot of small towns in Arizona. You know, when I go around campaigning, I go speak at a lot of these things. You know, I used to do a lot of speaking in the 90s at non-501c churches. You know, they were unincorporated churches. They weren't on the, you know, their list. They didn't want to do that. And we, as libertarians, certainly advocated that, you know. So they, you know, they'd have us come around. We started, you know, they had a little list or something. We started going around these small communities talking to them. And being a Christian, you know, I understood the rhetoric. So we go around and talk to people, you know, what is it that you're advocating? What is it that you're looking for? What do you think it is that Christ, I mean, you know, my thing was, is Christ was going into the brothels. And that's a target-rich environment, saving souls. And in the 90s, there was this big, giant effort. You know, I went to one of the large mega churches here at one time, and there was a big effort. I mean, they had pamphlets going out, and they were just advocating for, we got to stop these adult social clubs. You know, where adult men and women married not go and have sexual adventures or whatever. I'm like, yeah, you know, Are you going to pass a law to stop that or something? I mean, I'm, you know, am I allowed not to care? I mean, is somebody making somebody do something? Are they making me watch? Are they making me participate? You know, am I, you know, they use my tax money or something? Are they, you know, aggressing against someone? You know, what is the issue? Well, it was just an issue. It was just a, you know, you're not a good Christian unless you're advocating, you know, restricting someone's sexual freedom. And I'm like, seriously? You know, I mean, if you're a real Christian, what would Christ do? And I got your little bracelet there. What would he do? He'd go stand at the front and offer religious tracts. You know, something. Other than trying to use collective force. Because that force that you're creating to do that is going to come right back at you. So as I'm running for Congress and so on like this, and they'd ask these questions and everything, I give it what for? Same kind of stuff I'm telling you. I'd have people come to me and they go, Ernie, I can't believe you. Is that what you really meant? I go, not only that, but let me go one further. I'll give you a good example. There was one that was a big issue. I mean, these are just made. It's like the mosque thing. You know, it's just made up. And they always come up in the last couple of months before the election because they see Christian voters as a block for control. They've conditioned you. You're not going to make it to heaven unless you're going to use the force of government to make sure somebody behaves the way, you know, God wants them to. Or they perceive them to want them to. Try love. Try example. Try voluntary persuasion. Witness, parable, testimony, education. You know, this is Christ's tools. I don't remember him going to Caesar, say, you know, get your legions out there, take your spear and make him be his brother's keeper or something. Was that how he did it? Oh. I mean, the only time I ever remember, you know, Christ getting angry is when the bankers were making money on exchanging, you know, whatever, and the money changers and stuff in front of the temple. And he's like, oh, no, 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 no. Get out of my father's house. You know, that's a good lesson. So I remember they had this one question. Of course, they were making a big deal out of it. It's all politics. And I knew who these guys were. It was just, might as well just say Republican, you know. But they had a question. Do you oppose the access to pornography on the computers at public libraries? Or do you advocate that should be, because this is, you know, it was a big issue. I mean, it's a freedom of speech thing. Should it be available to those, you know, should they have to, you know, sign in and get a special card to open up the internet from someone to watch pornography in the library where children, I mean, you know, yeah, that's all. It's always a good issue to get them all riled up. And I go, I didn't answer the question because it didn't provide the answer that I wanted to give. So they go, if you don't answer this, we're going to say you didn't. I go, not a problem. And they had an internet page where you could go and you could, you know, expand on your answer. That's where I did. So I'm in church and they come up to me and they said, Ernie, which I go, that's a trick question for a libertarian. Libertarians can't answer a question like that. And they go, really? Why not? Because libertarians don't believe in public libraries. Did you ever think of that? Taking somebody's money to create a competition for your bookstore that now has movies that you get for free when you got Blockbuster. And at the time then, it was in these big chains. It was, you know, Fred's Video Store down the street. He's trying to make a living. You got the government subsidizing free movies. Oh, then you got Barnes & Noble. They got nice little bookstores. They put in couches, got some donuts and bagels or whatever in there. All of a sudden, the main library here in downtown Phoenix started putting in couches and lounge areas and selling goodies. When does it stop? At what point do you not have government competing in the free market? Well, the poor children, this, that, and so on. Well, nobody goes anymore anyway because of the internet. Now what are they going to do with these big buildings? You know, libraries used to be a philanthropic thing. It used to be wealthy individuals would, you know, want to, they didn't want to, you know, take a whole wing of their house for all the stuff. They'd accumulate this stuff and kind of, yeah, you know, everybody can go, you because I love you. Whatever. Tax write-off, you know, or just because I can. Make me look good. You know, buy my, you know, sneakers from my sneaker-making company because I'm nice to people and I got a library. You know, this being nice is always has value. But when it's popular, like fire department or libraries or parks, the government wants to take those because it makes them seem more legitimate. That's why they do it. You need to change the way you think about stuff and the proper role of government, or you will be enslaved forever by it, and the next generation isn't going to pay for it.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK.
Yeah, we got problems. You know, this is, I really wanted to make sure I got this song in before the end of the hour, because I want to make sure that you understand that this is by the Black Eyed Peas, and there is an entire generation. You know, there's in hip hop, it's Eminem and the Eagles for my generation, and, you know, get over it. You know, these are communications between individuals in a generation that it's also translated. You know, I've seen some translations of popular songs in Europe and German, especially German, that are just understanding what's going on and sharing it with an entire generation all over the internet. Giordano Bruno, we go in his article, is a couple paragraphs here. I want to make sure I get in. You know, it's, yes, international banks triggered the meltdown, but the greed of capitalism is to blame, really? You know, or is it all the Republicans' fault, Democrats, what? First off, if you're parroting the fiscal debate points of two-dimensional socialist gatekeepers like Michael Moore, then you're already hopelessly lost in the mind-warping hedge maze of the false left-right paradigm. You should stay as far away as possible from adult conversations on economics, especially if you plan on associating the greed of capitalism and corporatism with the Republican Party alone. Newsflash, Barack Obama received far more in corporate campaign donations, including donations from BP and Exxon, than McCain did. Both Bush Jr. and Obama increased government spending to record levels, meaning neoconservatives are in no way conservative, as a true Republican is supposed to be. Obama has consistently surrounded himself with banksters and corporate lobbyists, including various hobgoblins from the bowels of Goldman Sachs. Both major parties are owned and operated by global banks. This is a cold, hard, undeniable truth of our political system. There is no way around it. Learn it. Accept it as reality and stop trying to blame one side or the other for problems that both sides created. If you cannot do this, your view of our cultural state of affairs will always be horribly skewed, and your insights on our social problems will be utterly worthless. Worthless. Your opinion don't mean squat if you can't comprehend what's really going on. But you don't have to understand everything. You know, I don't claim to. You know, a lot of times I know just enough or talk enough about something that people that really do understand economics Austrian economics, I understand. It's pretty simple. It's really not that complicated. But guys that deal in the stock market and bonds and this and that and so on, they start explaining stuff to me like they know I understand. Whoa, time out, man. What the heck are you talking about? And they, you know, are just dealing at the, because they do understand what's going on, what the ultimate goal is, what the ultimate outcome is going to be, and what, you know, you can't stop, you know, just plain down the earth economics. They know what's going to happen, so they can make a lot of money on the fringes as this thing goes, up or down, because they understand it, probably more than the people that are doing it. So you're going, okay, what do I ask them is the right thing for me to do? I go, look, I don't understand this enough. I mean, you know, how far off am I just, you know, when I got extra money, I just go buy silver. They go, that's it. You don't need to know any more than that. Just go buy silver. So that's what I share with you because, you know, that's what I believe. People that I respect, for those of that are not sophisticated, I get something I can hold in my hand. And this paper crap, silver. Gold if you can afford it. Silver, 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 chickens, food, gardens, survive, keep breathing in and out. You do that, you know, and I'll be happy and feel that my time spent with you was worth it. Because I just want you to survive this, because it's going to get a lot worse. Stay tuned to freedomsphoenix.com.